Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Joe Horowitz, the Executive Director of Post Classical Ensemble.
Which will be performing Beyond Psycho, the musical genius of Bernard Herrmann, here on June 1st at the National Cathedral. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us, Joe.
Pleasure.
Now, when you think National Cathedral, you don't necessarily think of, you know, Hitchcock shower stabbing. So when I saw this pitch, I was like, well, that's an interesting concept here. Tell us what exactly you guys will be playing, and then we can, I want to, you know, dive further into Herrmann's history and all that stuff. But explain, you know, exactly what's on the set list, if you will, the order of events of the show.
Sure. This is a tribute to Bernard Herrmann, who we know maybe is Hollywood's greatest composer. But he was many other things as well. So we're starting with the music that people know the best, which is the music from Psycho, which he did with Hitchcock. But then we're doing his clarinet quintet, which may be the most beautiful chamber music ever composed by an American. And then the novelty of the evening is a 1944 radio play called Whitman, which he did in collaboration with the genius of American radio drama, a man called Norman Corwin. And actually, Herrmann got his start as a film composer, as a radio composer. He learned his craft accompanying the spoken word, writing music for radio dramas such as the one that we're going to be performing.
It's fascinating that you mentioned that he got his start in radio because his first score for his first Hollywood score, what a debut, for Citizen Kane for Orson Welles, who also had come from radio. So they kind of both transitioned there into film together from radio. And then, man, talk about bookends on a composer's career. You start with Citizen Kane and you end with Taxi Driver. I think he sent that off to Scorsese and then died in his sleep, like his last act on earth. And then, of course, in between, you have so many great scores, you know, your Cape Fears and other non-Hitchcock ones. But to me, as I'm sure you'll agree, the Hitchcock ones are the bread and butter, your Psychos, and my favorite is actually Vertigo. I think it's so romantic and haunting. But then you get your North by Northwest, and I mean, just so many great scores. Do you talk about what was sort of, you know, I'm more of a movie guy, but you're the music expert. What was sort of, you know, what instrumentation, the musicology of Herrmann? I know there's a lot of horns a lot of times, you know, but, you know, break him down, like what a lot of the instruments you like to use.
Well, because he was writing for film, he could do anything he pleased. So his instrumentation is often highly idiosyncratic. He'll do things he could never do with a concert orchestra, like have three times the number of brass instruments that you would find in an orchestra. You mentioned Vertigo, which is an unforgettable score. The clarinet quintet is very much in the style of Vertigo. It's very romantic. He wrote it when he was about to marry for the third time.
Ah.
And his use of the clarinet is exceptionally beautiful. He was a master composer who was disdained by his contemporaries in the Northeast. He was stigmatized as a film composer. And this was a time when it was not fashionable to be a romantic. And Herrmann, the composer, was an unapologetic romantic. In fact, he was a very irascible, in-your-face guy, and he returned the contempt of the people in the Northeast who disparaged him as a film composer. Now that all the dust has settled, I think he's easily a peer of Aaron Copland or anybody else you can think of that generation. I think he's the most underrated American composer of the 20th century. His concert catalog is small, but it's very impressive. There's a cantata, Moby Dick. There's a string quartet. There's a big World War II symphony. And there's the clarinet quintet that I mentioned. And there's an opera, Wuthering Heights. And this is music that deserves to be heard and, for the most part, is not.
I'm with you entirely. I mean, I'll put that, you know, that scene d'amour when Kim Novak comes out of that door in the green light, I'll put that up against anything. But it's interesting, like you said, that, you know, nowadays, you know, people hold, you know, the John Williams or Jerry Goldsmiths, you know, the Hans Zimmers in reverence. But it's interesting you say that in Herrmann's time that, you know, he wasn't fully appreciated. That's crazy to me. I guess ahead of your time, or maybe the medium just wasn't as respected, you know, looking back, I'm glad that he's getting his do. Let's go. We mentioned you went into a little bit of the musicology of Vertigo, but let's go into Psycho, the actual piece you're going to be playing. Is it going to be? Is it the full score? Because I know a lot of us know the slashing shower theme that the critics at the time, I think Bogdanovich said that when that thing debuted at Radio City Music Hall, no one could even hear the score because people were screaming so loud at that scene. But are you guys playing? You playing that, or is it the driving scene? You know, the dun 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 dun, that whole one.
So when orchestras do Psycho as a concert work, typically they just play excerpts from the score. People don't realize that in 1968. Herman made his own psychosynthesis. He called it a narrative for orchestra. And it's through composed. It's not excerpts from the film. It's knitted together as an integrated composition. It's very little heard, and that is what we'll be doing. Maybe the first thing that's of interest about this music is that it's just for strings. That was an original inspiration to score the music of Psycho just for a string orchestra. He had earlier written a sinfonietta for strings, and parts of that turn up in the Psycho score. The sinfonietta is his only non-tonal work, and what he's interested in is the different colors and timbres he can create with a string orchestra. So that was like a kind of a laboratory for what he was able to do when he scored Psycho. We'll have with us Dorothy Herman, one of his daughters, who's a very remarkable raconteur with many stories about Daddy. And she has a story about going with Daddy to see Psycho. Herman was seeing the film for the first time, and he hated it.
Really?
But then he changed his mind when he discovered that it was an iconic achievement. It's a funny story that I don't tell very well, but it's hilarious as she tells it.
Well, so that's going to be great. I didn't realize that she would be there. That's going to be great. So it'll kind of go, you know, you guys will play an iconic piece, and then she'll share a little thoughts, and then you play another piece. She talks about,
right.
That's going to be really, really,
right.
Really exciting. Where is she based? Is she L.A.?
New York. She's a writer.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that's a kind of a big coup that you got his own lineage coming to this salute. That's really, really cool. Awesome. And then let's go a little more into, so that's the, you know, the Psycho and then the middle piece you're playing. How about the radio play Whitman? Break that down for us. What are we going to hear?
Norman Corwin, who is Herman's collaborator on this radio drama, was the genius of American radio drama. The other guy who you think of first is Orson Welles. And it's a genre that we've completely forgotten. There are no radio dramas today. But before the days of TV, this was a major instrument for patriotic artistic expression. So for the home front, these radio dramas by Corwin and Herman were an important instrument for morale. In fact, and Corwin tells a story that he was on a train when Pearl Harbor was bombed, and he sent a telegram to Washington asking if the Office of Facts and Figures still wanted the show that he was planning to do. And he got a telegram back that said, "The president says now more than ever." So when you hear this radio drama that we're doing on June 1, Whitman, it's obvious that it has a double purpose. It's celebrating Walt Whitman, who may be our greatest poet, but it's also celebrating American democracy and using Whitman to do that. It was never intended as a concert work, but we did a big Herman Festival, months long, 2 years ago, and the revelation of that festival was Whitman. We did it as a concert work, which had never been done before. It was never intended to be a concert work, and we were stunned by what we had come up with. So we're doing it again, and we're doing a recording, which will be the world premiere recording, and I actually think that this 25-minute work, which is for the spoken word in orchestra, deserves to be performed by American orchestras. I think it deserves to have an afterlife.
I love it. I love you bringing it back to life for us here. Talk about the space itself, the National Cathedral. Gorgeous space to play that music. Talk about, and I know we're radio, so if you could try to, with your words, paint a visual picture of if one of our listeners hears this interview and they say, oh, that sounds good. They go down to the National Cathedral. Describe what that is, the experience of when they walk through those doors and then sitting there listening to this orchestra.
Well, the great nave of the Washington National Cathedral is one of the largest in the world. So it's an inspirational space, and it's also a highly reverberant space. So it's a terrific space acoustically for string orchestra, and we can't wait to hear what the Saigo music sounds like in a reverberant acoustic such as that. It's also a religious space, and it's an appropriate space in which to revive this 1944 radio drama, which recalls a time of great patriotic fervor and national adversity. You know, the tone of this radio drama, I would say, is spiritual. It's religious. In fact, the most moving part of it is where Whitman evokes a graveyard and talks about the grass.
Absolutely. And I like that. It's going to... The religious, I guess, themes will kind of fit for this. Tell us more about your outfit, the ensemble. Give us just a quick, brief history of that and how you even got, you know, hooked up with the cathedral in the first place.
We're actually based in D.C. I live in New York.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Post-Classical Ensemble. Post-Classical Ensemble is based in D.C. It was created 15 years ago by myself and Angel Gil Ordonez, who's the conductor. And we're like a guerrilla orchestra. We're subversive. We do things that are not normally done. We were invited to become the ensemble in residence of the National Cathedral a couple of years ago. We're also going to be partnering with the Phillips Collection this summer. And there's no way to generalize about our events because none of them are standard format concerts. And the format that they take is just governed by the theme of the evening, and all of our programming is thematic, and a lot of it is cross-disciplinary. So as we've already mentioned, one of the things that will happen June 1 is that Dorothy Herman will show up and talk about her father. We don't do standard format concerts, and all of our concerts are themed. They're not about a soloist or, you know, a brand-name concerto. We take the plunge, we take the risk of doing things that, for the most part, are not well known. I could add that the three composers in our 15 years who are most intent upon championing are Bernard Herrmann, Lou Harrison, and Silvestre Revueltas. They're all composers who, in our opinion, are composers whose time will come. Revueltas was a Mexican composer in the 30s, and Lou Harrison was a prophet of world music, whose music is greatly influenced by Indonesian gamelan. So our previous concert this season at the cathedral was certainly unique. We had two gamelans, a Javanese gamelan and a Balinese gamelan. These are Indonesian percussion orchestras at either side of the nave. And our orchestra was in the middle. And we explored how gamelan had influenced a series of Western composers, beginning with Debussy.
Awesome. Well, we hope everyone gets a chance to come check it out. Again, it's at the National Cathedral on June 1st. Where else can they find more information?
Just go to www.postclassical.com for information and tickets.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. We're looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you, Jason.